soul. Again, we know this is the work of the Lord as shepherd. Again, last week to look at some of the means that God uses to restore a soul. Of course, God being God, He's not limited to what He can use, what He does use. But perhaps the most, well, no doubt, the most common means that God uses is His Word. He can use that in a variety of ways, of course. We saw that in Psalm 19 that the Word of God has the power to convert, to turn, which is part of restoring a soul. The Word of God can make wise, which also is part of restoring a soul. It can rejoice the heart, enlighten the eyes, all of which are part of restoration. We saw one example of God restoring the soul of Jeremiah with the Word. Another incident in the life of Jeremiah, we see God using the Word to bring restoration of soul. In chapter 19, verses 14 and 15, Jeremiah had just finished preaching a message. Following that message, Pashur, the priest, in Jeremiah 20, verse 2, struck Jeremiah and then put him in prison. You read verses 3 through 6 of chapter 20, Jeremiah is brought forth from the prison in the morning, and without wavering, he preaches a message of judgment to Pashur, a message of doom to him. Following that, verse 7, Jeremiah pours out his heart to God, telling him of the terrible state that he had succumbed to while he was in prison. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 20, and again, this is an example of why we need restoration of soul. I believe also an example of God's long-suffering with us. Jeremiah was a great man of God, but notice in verse 7, he says, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me. That's quite a statement. He's calling God a liar. Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. So he's telling God of the condition he had fallen to while he was in prison. He says in verse 8, For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He needed restoration of soul. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. So the word was there. God just stirred it. Became a burning fire, shut up in his bones, a fire shut up. It has to go somewhere. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay or I could not refrain from declaring the Word of God. So the Word of God was performing a function within him. God used it to restore his soul. The Word of God was a force in his heart. It was an influence within him. And the result was that self and the wrong thinking that he was guilty of and the wrong acting were all consumed. by the fire of God's word. And love of God was rekindled. And Jeremiah's soul was restored. God uses his word. Again, we can sit down, we can read it, and God can use it. We can hear it, God can use it. Out in the future, what we have read and what we have heard, God can bring to our mind and restore our soul. God can cause us to recall a passage. God could cause us to recall a sermon or whatever. And he uses his word to bring restoration of soul. So you never know. You never know. You might hear, you might read something today, and it may not really impact you at this moment. A year or two from now, it might. God has the ability to do that. Also, the Lord, in restoring a soul, reveals himself. He reveals himself in his word. That's, again, probably the most common way of God revealing himself. But God reveals himself in bringing about restoration of soul. He reveals himself in creation. Notice Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare, they proclaim, they announce, they reveal the glory, that is the beauty and the magnificence of God. And the firmament showeth, manifests his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, wherever you are, creation reveals God. And from creation alone, man is accountable to the Lord. That's enough. Creation alone is enough. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, speaking of when the sun rises, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So creation reveals God. God is revealed, brings about restoration of soul. God reveals himself through providence. He does so every day. He does so every day in his word. He does so every day in creation. He does so every day in providence. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. That is, look for the Lord. He's working all the time. And providence, that is God simply working his will, reveals God. Psalm 97 in verse 6 says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So God has restored countless souls by the manifestation and the display of himself. Again, he can use his word to display himself, and he certainly does. He uses creation, he uses providence, he can use people, but there's really no limit. We see that God revealed himself in restoring the soul of Job. Now, a lot of times people look at Job, and certainly Job was a remarkable man, very spiritual man. But Job was not without sin. And as you read the book of Job, you can see that he too succumbed to a dangerous spiritual condition. In Job 23, verses 3 and 4, or verse 2, He says, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. So he's longing to see God. He said, if I could see God and come before his seat, I would order my cause before him. He would tell God, I haven't done anything amiss. Fill my mouth with arguments against God. This was in response to Eliphaz. And Job is saying, I would defend myself before God. And then in Job 26 through 31, after Bildad speaks, Job desires that God would respond to him. He basically challenges God. God to respond to him, that he could defend himself before the Lord. Job was heading down a wrong path. He was heading into a very dangerous area. And then you come to Job 38 through 41, and God responds. God responds to Job. He does so with over 180 questions. Again, remember, Job said, if I could stand before God, I would defend myself before him. I would argue against what he's allowed to happen in my life. But with those questions that God asked Job, they were questions that revealed the person of God. They were also questions that revealed the nothingness of Job. And you see the response of Job. Notice Job chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? In light of all those questions, in light of what Job said, God is saying, are you going to instruct me, Job? You going to argue against me? Then Job answered the Lord. This is after God had revealed himself through these questions. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Remember what Job said? If I could stand before God, I would make my argument with him. But after God revealed himself, he said, I will lay my hand upon my mouth. I won't say a word. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. God restored him, and he did so by revealing himself. God would then proceed to ask some more questions. In Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. He said, I spoke before I understood. I spoke before I knew what I was talking about. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So God used the word, or God revealed himself to Job and restored him. So Job's soul was restored by a revelation of God. In this restoration of Job was not an explanation about God. It was a revelation of God. You can explain God to the best of your ability to someone who needs restoration of soul. But an explanation about God will not restore a soul. It is a revelation of God that restores a soul. And what Job needed in his suffering really was not answers concerning why he was suffering. That's what Job wanted to know, and that's what Job said, was basically saying. He said, if I could appear before God, I would demand an answer. Why is this happening? But again, answers is not what we need. I know many times we think it is, but what we need is simply a clear vision of God. Leave the rest with Him. And it's this clear vision of God that gives us restoration of soul. So God reveals Himself. And He does so in many, many, many ways. We see this is what the Lord did in restoring the souls of the apostles. Notice in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verses 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, that's Sunday, being the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Jesus came. And what did He do? Well, it says that He stood in the midst so all could see Him. And He spoke. He saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad. So they've gone from fear to glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus revealed Himself, and fear was changed to gladness. There was a restoration of soul. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, so even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So God, the Lord, revealed Himself and brought restoration of soul to the apostles. We see the same thing happened the following Sunday. This time He would restore the soul of Thomas. In verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put My finger into the print of the nails, and thrust My hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, so He's now just speaking to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold My hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in My side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, My Lord and My God. And many make the mistake there, and they say that Thomas is believing in the resurrected Christ. No, it's much more than that. He's believing who He is, My Lord and My God. That's what Thomas believed. That Jesus was Lord, that Jesus was God. And what brought him to that point? A revelation, a manifestation of Jesus Christ. So the Lord uses His Word. The Lord reveals Himself in bringing about restoration of soul. The Lord can also use circumstances to bring about restoration of soul. Whether the circumstances be what we consider favorable or what we consider adverse, God is able to use circumstances to bring restoration of soul. It could be prison, it could be storms. We see all different circumstances throughout the Word of God. It is God who controls the circumstances, and it is God who can use circumstances to bring about restoration. And therefore, with that in mind, many of God's people make a serious error in judgment when they try to fix, many times, someone's circumstances, failing to realize that the very circumstances that you're trying to undo could be the very circumstances that God's going to use to restore that soul. We get in the way many times. We get in the way. Doesn't prevent God from doing what He does, but we can get in the way. So God uses His Word. Never underestimate the power of His Word. You can speak with somebody, and again, it may not have any impact whatsoever at that very moment, but that does not mean that God will not use that very word in the future, either save their soul, bring restoration to a backslidden soul. So never underestimate the power of the Word of God. In fact, you can speak the Word of God to an individual and they may hate you for it at the time. They may hate God's Word, but God can still use that Word. Even though He may not use it at that very moment, God can use that Word. And He does. And God reveals Himself to bring about restoration of soul. And how thankful we ought to be of all the times in our life that God has revealed Himself to us. And He does so in a variety of ways. God can use circumstances. He can use circumstances to reveal Himself. He can use circumstances. It can be death. It can be sickness. It can be health. There's no limit. God can use whatever circumstance He pleases to bring about the restoration of a soul. Best thing to do is just leave it to God. God will restore His people. And I do believe that. I believe that if someone is truly saved, God will restore their soul. God will restore their soul. And if He doesn't, He'll take them out. He'll take them home. But God does restore souls. Never give up on God, because He restoreth my soul. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the devotional. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for each one that is here today, and we pray for those that may be on their way, Lord, that You would give them traveling mercies. Most of all, Lord, we pray that You would help us to worship You in a way that would bring honor and glory to Your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.